all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Up North News, being a separate entity from Civic Media, you can find what we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. In our newsletter today, a few stories about Leap Day, it being February 29th, 2024. And a comic in there as well. I'm going to go ahead and give away the punchline. Leap year gives us all the extra time we need to reflect on how unproductive I am with extra time, which I think we all proved during 2020 as well. All those things we said we were going to do and didn't do quite so much. Well, maybe you guys were productive. I was not.
I said I'd watch The Sopranos four times through in 2 months, and I did such. So
mission accomplished. Did I put up those new shelves in the garage? No, I did not. But Kristen Lyerly is here, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Greg Bach, Pat Kreitlow. Brittany, we have temperatures that are still below zero in parts up north, down to the teens in the southern part of the state, and temperatures are going to be nothing like that before too long as this cold snap comes and goes.
Yeah, it's almost done. So thankfully, the brutal winds have calmed down. So no wind chills to deal with out there this morning, just the cold temperatures from being so clear overnight, because clouds usually act as blankets and keep us warmer through those overnight hours, but we didn't have any. So we dropped those single digits, both above and below zero, and it's still crisp out there this morning, but it's going to be a bright and beautiful day with more warm weather headed our way. So there's a low pressure system way off into the West Coast and Canada. Well, that itself is draping a warm front throughout the state. We've also got another low pressure system way down south into the Gulf of Mexico. And they're kind of lining up together to really give us this warm surge that we're going to be experiencing over the next few days. So a beautiful weekend ahead. And temperatures today climbing into the 40s for most of the state. You could be into the upper 40s towards the Mississippi River Valley, and you'll be a little bit colder into the Northwoods, unfortunately, towards Manitouish waters into the upper 30s. But winds start to pick up this afternoon out of the south, gusting up to about 25 miles per hour. That right there means no burning. There is a high fire danger risk from St. Croix Valley into the Chippewa Valley and all the way south as well. So keep that in mind. No bonfires. That's why I hate spring.
There is a real danger out there. So bear that in mind. You mentioned Manitouish waters, and I'm not familiar with any college or university, but I'm wondering if that's it says M State on your jacket there. Does that stand for Manitouish State by chance?
Or? I wish. My goodness. I would have loved to go to college right there, but no, this is a Mississippi State where it's really humid and really gross.
are you wearing that simply to make the point that Kristen Lyerly said she was never going to take off her University of Minnesota letter jacket once she got it?
That, wow, Pat. I doubted. Wow. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, bro.
it's Brittany, the one that's being passive aggressive in her wardrobe choices.
Is she celebrating the fact that Mississippi is about to pass Medicaid expansion and Wisconsin still hasn't?
I'm going to say that's not why she put it on, but it does give us a nice transition into that story. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. So we'd have a few topics to go over with Kristen here that are not great topics for Wisconsin. Joe Zepecki alluded to it a little bit earlier that, once again, the Wisconsin legislature could have expanded Medicaid coverage to women instead of 60 days postpartum up to a year. They didn't do that. And then just yesterday, the Mississippi House of Representatives passed a Medicaid expansion measure 96-20. So if the Mississippi Senate passes it, and if the governor signs it, or if they override a veto, then Wisconsin becomes one of like 9 or 8 states left that still hasn't expanded Medicaid. So on both of those fronts, Kristen, I don't think you'd give this legislature a very good report card.
No, this legislature gets a terrible report card because they don't do anything besides just spin their wheels and pander. You know, We have women in Wisconsin who lose their coverage. They have no attachment to their medical provider after 2 months after they deliver their babies. And the postpartum period is fraught with challenges, with mental health issues and physical health issues. It takes us a year to recover from a pregnancy. So if we take away their coverage 2 months after they have their babies, we're leaving them with nothing. And that is a recipe for disaster. We know in this state we have high maternal mortality when it comes, especially to Black women. Black women are 5 times more likely to die related to their pregnancy here in Wisconsin than white women. That's twice the national average. This is an opportunity to save lives, to keep families together, to save babies, to save moms. But we've just completely punted on it for entirely political reasons.
And it reminds me of all the things that the legislature didn't get done. And this is not directly related, but you'll see where I'm going with this after talking about, you know, maternal mortality with Black women. The legislature also refused to create a task force on missing and murdered Black women and girls.
Unbelievable. Yes,
because an investigation by The Guardian found, you know, 5 Black women and girls were killed each day in the U.S. in 2020. The worst state was Wisconsin, where the rate doubled that year. Baylor Spears writes in the Wisconsin Examiner, a task force would be responsible for examining the factors that contribute to violence against Black women and girls and would be required to submit a report on actions that could be taken to eliminate violence against Black women and girls. But it's being blocked by one suburban white guy from the Milwaukee area, Dewey Strobel, Senator Dewey Strobel from Saukville.
Of course.
Who says he's not going to give the bill a public hearing, not even at least going to give it a public hearing, much less a vote. Why? Because, as he put it, basically men make up a little more than half the total number of missing persons and 75% of homicide victims. And so he says, quote, I have a difficult time legislating in a way that allows government to prioritize justice based on a victim's race or gender.
Ladies, are you listening? Are you listening to what this state senator is saying? We have a giant problem here. People are dying. We're the worst in the country. And we can't even get our legislators to have a conversation about it because of their personal feelings, because of their personal biases.
Biases is a very gentle way of putting it. But yeah, so that's why we won't see that kind of a task force going on. And I want to come back to something that was discussed earlier, and this gets into Republicans in Congress and their demands to avoid a government shutdown. And yes, a government shutdown has been avoided for this week, but they only punted it a week or two or three down the road here. And one of the outrageous things that the so-called Freedom Caucus was demanding was that the Department of Veteran Affairs not be allowed to flag veterans who were deemed mentally incompetent from federal background checks when they want to buy weapons. And so I want to pass along this comment from Alicia, who writes on Facebook, curtailing the red flags for the VA puts PTSD veterans at a huge risk. Have the Republicans never heard the phrase 22 a day, which is referring to veteran suicides? MAGA does not love veterans.
Alicia hit the nail on the head.
I was going to say, I got nothing else to add to that. I just wanted to make sure that we pass it along. That and all the other outrageous demands. Again, you don't really have to run against it. You have to do more to just get it out there. Say, this is their list of demands. That's going to be today's, you know, little TikTok video for me, is just putting that list of demands up there. You don't really have to say much of anything else.
This is personal for me. My cousin just recently, like weeks ago, committed suicide because he had a firearm that he shouldn't have had. And I can tell you that in my family, there are a lot of questions right now about why he had it and what could we have done, because we knew that he was fragile. So I just can't understand how these mega extremists pandering to the gun lobby are putting our veterans, our heroes, these people who are, they put their lives on the line to protect our country, and they can't even respect them enough to ensure their safety, to take a common sense measure that we know the vast majority of Americans believe in. It's just, it defies any understanding. It just breaks my heart.
It does. Now, you're going to be back at 7:30 for our Women Win Wisconsin segment with the new Blue Pack executive director, Julie Hancock. But before we have that coming up at the bottom of the hour, I think you were the one who was recommending to me the We Are the World documentary.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch it?
I got to say, watch that on the airplane on my phone while traveling last week. And thank you for that recommendation. Again, I don't want to do like spoiler alerts and things like that, but Stevie Wonder plays quite a role, a role that really could have blown the whole thing up. You know, I really wasn't sure how you would take just a one night, you know, singing a song and turn it into a 90-minute documentary. They did an extremely good job at it. And so I just want to say thanks for the recommendation, especially given that tomorrow would have been the 97th birthday for Harry Belafonte, who passed away in the past year here, and the role that that he played in getting this done was along with Michael Jackson was really impressive. It was a really great story.
Harry Belafonte was the catalyst. Michael Jackson was the engine with Lionel Richie, and then Stevie Wonder was the character, just the genius. But the fact that they all came together, all of these divas in this room for hours overnight, you know, they kept showing the clock, you know, it's 4:30, it's 6 yes. o'clock.
Yeah, and all the interchange sometimes between artists who don't know one another, the one artist, you know, who left in a huff, the one artist who never showed up, speaking of divas,
yes.
you know. And
Dan Aykroyd.
No.
Why was Dan Aykroyd there?
No, Dan was there. Dan was very, very happy to be there. But there is that wrinkle. Again, I'm trying to avoid spoiler alerts. But basically, they invited one singer because they knew of her connection to another singer to try to get him in. And once she realized she was basically being used, I mean, she felt terrible. And I thought she really came off as a sympathetic figure in this. So
she did.
She did. So I just wanted to recommend that. And thank you again for passing that along. The only downside of it was getting that song stuck in my head for like a day and a half afterwards, because it sticks with you.
Now it's stuck in our heads too. I can see it on Greg's face.
You know he's got the wheels turning there. All right, when we come back, we're going to start to State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire about developments here in the Chippewa Valley, where a large health conglomerate is closing two hospitals and several clinics. The legislature could have made a big difference, decided to make a small difference, but Governor Evers kind of rode to the rescue with his veto pen. My interview with State Representative Jody Emerson coming up, and then Kristen Lyerly's Women in Wisconsin, all ahead, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, we're a friend, State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, and we're talking about, for folks around the rest of the state who aren't familiar, a couple of hospitals are closing up in the Chippewa Valley, some clinics. It really could have used some help from the legislature. There was some help, but now more help is coming, thanks again to the use of the veto pen by Governor Tony Evers. Representative Emerson, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good to see you, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, look, we're going to cover a lot of ground later about the session, what the assembly got done, more importantly, what they didn't get done. But I really wanted to focus specifically on what's happening here in the Chippewa Valley, where HSHS, Hospital Sisters Health System, based out of Springfield, Illinois, abruptly announced it's going to close Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire, St. Joseph's in Chippewa Falls, a whole bunch of Prevea Health clinics. And yet, as we were looking through all the things that would be impacted by these closures, we were reminded there's $15 million sitting out there that was allocated but never spent because of essentially what? The part of the mental health crisis in western and northwestern Wisconsin, right? What was the purpose of that $15 million that was still sitting out there?
Yeah, so that was not in the budget we just did this session, but the previous budget. There was $15 million that was allocated for behavioral health crisis beds for adolescents and adults. And I think I'm guessing HSHS must have seen the handwriting on the wall, never got that $15 million from the state. That was one of the first questions that I started asking about when that announcement came down. We found out that they hadn't used this $15 million. And so several of us were like, well, what can we do with this? Like, it was allocated for the Chippewa Valley. HSHS isn't going to use it anymore. They're going out of business in our area. So what can we do with this? And there was, you know, one party wrote bills about it. And we tried to have some conversations with them to amend it to what we thought could happen. I think, you know, things are moving really rapidly right now. And so we need to have the most flexibility that we can. The bill, as it was written, was going to be for capital expenses for emergency rooms only. That might not be what is needed a month from now. It might not be what's needed 2 months from now. And so the governor, DHS, myself, Jeff Smith, or I should say the governor's office, we all worked with Senator James and some of the other Republicans to try and get to a point where we all agreed on this is what we think could happen. We wrote an amendment. We thought we had agreement on it. Republicans turned it down at the very last minute. We still put it out on the floor anyways, got voted down on party lines. And this is, you know, where having shared government in Wisconsin matters, because getting something to the governor's desk isn't the win. Getting it off the governor's desk is the win. And so the governor used his partial veto authority granted under the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin to make some changes into the bill. So it is a lot more flexible. And I hope that we're going to be able to use this for the services and, you know, to put a Band-Aid, not to use a medical pun there, but to, you know, put a Band-Aid on the situation that is the healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley right now.
Well, because going back to the original allocation of the $15 million, you had people that were in need of emergency, psychiatric services, behavioral health services. And because of a shortage of space, people were being transported, where? Was it Madison or the Fox Valley or something
like
that?
Yeah, Winnebago. Winnebago and Mendota are the two hospitals that they're transported to the most. And talking to somebody from Eau Claire County today, or yesterday, excuse me, they were talking about how it's probably going to cost Eau Claire County $1 million, over $1 million in this next year just to transport people, because we have the lack of psychiatric beds in the Chippewa Valley now.
And so using that $15 million, if you can't use it for bricks and mortar, for, you know, to put more beds in, but you can provide services at least with that money, it would seem like a fair use of that money, even if it wasn't exactly the original intent, but it gets to the core of the problem in Western Wisconsin.
Right. And I mean, when we look at it, we have empty buildings right now, or soon to be empty buildings. We don't need more brick and mortar. Bricks can't take a pulse. They can't do surgery. They can't read an EKG. They can't offer counseling. What we need are the people in order to do that. And part of the crisis is that we've got really talented medical professionals who are going to be leaving our area to get jobs elsewhere. We need that money to help keep them here while we figure out what the next step is, while another hospital maybe comes in, while another entity creates something to keep these people employed on a longer basis and more of a long-term or a mid-term solution instead of the short-term fix. But if these people leave, if these really talented medical professionals leave, they're not coming back 2 or 3 months from now. They're gone. And so if using some of this $15 million is going to keep some people here so that we can have a functioning hospital whenever we get a buyer for it, that's great. You know, we need to be flexible in this right now.
But I dread asking the follow-up question on this, because we've seen a certain thing happen with PFAS funding and with, you know, UW pay raises and things where the legislature approves spending money, but has worked out some kind of a gig where they don't actually spend the money until the Joint Finance Committee comes back and approves whatever the executive branch agency, the Department of Health Services, whoever does this. Is this money subject to that same, double dip where the legislature has already approved this money, but could also now hold up this money?
That's my understanding. Joint Finance is still going to have approval. And so, my challenge is for Joint Finance now.
The governor right away, he said he submitted to DHS right away an official request to Joint Finance to immediately release the $15 million. And so Joint Finance could take care of this quickly. So if there's any ire or arm twisting to be done out there, it would be with Joint Finance Committee Republicans, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Republicans are the ones who set the agenda, who make the committee, agendas and things like that out there. They can get this on the books right away and for a vote and get it out quickly,
or they could stamp their feet and pout because they didn't like the way that the governor used his veto. And I'm sorry that sounds harsh, but that's exactly, there is a record of doing that.
We know that the majority party professes to be the party of being pro-life. And so I'm going to challenge Joint Finance to have these hearings, do this stuff, get that $15 million out the door and put their money where their mouth is. Because if they are pro-life, they'll take care of this $15 million, get it to the Chippewa Valley and save lives.
State Representative Jody Emerson giving us an update on the healthcare crisis happening in the Chippewa Valley with these hospitals closing. Jody, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Good to see you, Pat. Thanks.
You as well. On Up North News social media right now, you can get Selena Heller's video version of the story she told us about earlier this week about farmers who are growing winter barley now for helping craft beer brewing across Wisconsin. Wisconsin Women Win Wisconsin with Kristen Lyerly is coming up next here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota. North News Radio. It's a Thursday morning, February 29th, and here we go. Kristen, you've got a good friend of yours here from the New Blue Pack that we're going to learn about. People who are looking to make a difference in the 8th Congressional District. They already were beforehand, but now with the incumbent Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher saying he's not going to run for re-election, things started looking different real fast when that happened, Kristen.
Yeah, that was a game changer. We were queuing up in the 8th Congressional District to do some pretty incredible things, not just with the congressional seat, but with all of the state seats in the 8th CD. You know, in northeastern Wisconsin, there are 23 seats on the ballot in November, and two of them are held by Democrats. Now, this is the third largest population center in the state. We know that this area is not that red, but because of extreme partisan gerrymandering, that's what we see. People haven't felt represented. They haven't felt hope. But now things are really different between Mike Gallagher deciding not to run, leaving this an open seat. And with Governor Evers' new maps, we are seeing this influx of people who are saying, it's my time, I am ready to lead, and I see a path forward. And so much of that has been coordinated and quarterbacked by our friend Julie Hancock, who joins us this morning. Welcome, Julie.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Julie, nice to have you here. So tell us about the decision-making process. Again, at the time, we thought that Congressman Gallagher was going to run for re-election. So there are multiple people, Dr. Lyerly included, thinking about running. So what was it that you decided to help make happen from more of a 30,000-foot view rather than any single candidate?
Well, I made my decision back in 2022. I ran as a write-in candidate against Gallagher when the Dems didn't have anyone on the ballot. And that just kind of, I've always had this compulsion to fight this battle, but that really fired me up because I really feel strongly that every candidate, every incumbent should have an opponent on the ballot. Like, nobody should think that they own their seat and they don't have to fight for it. So after 2022, I just became very committed to the idea that we are going to have a strong candidate in the 8th district, that candidates in Northeast Wisconsin needed to be supported. Because that was sort of missing in the picture that I had seen from the on the ground view at that in 2022. So Yeah. So I just decided that this is what we're going to do. Like it started kind of a couple of us, and then it's built over the year. Because it was there were more than one of, we were all kind of feeling it. There were a lot of women feeling it, especially on the ground. And we just kind of all kind of independently and then came together and said, this year's going to be different.
From an infrastructure standpoint, let's take a step back about the need for a political action committee, because I've seen other people like you try to do this here in the 7th Congressional District as well. Everybody's familiar with the national parties, Democratic, Republican, the state parties. There are county level parties. So there's a Brown County Democratic Party, Brown County Republican Party. There is also at the congressional district level, you know, there is an 8th Congressional District Democratic Party. It's basically kind of a loose confederation of all the county parties. But the way I want to frame the question is, okay, so there is an 8th Congressional District Democratic Party. What's the difference? Why have a political action committee for the 8th district, which is what the new blue pack is?
Well, Pat, great question. And it all comes down to legalities with the FEC and campaign finance laws, because they're very limited. The 8th Congressional Dem Party Committee especially is very limited in what they're allowed to donate to congressional candidates. And that's on the FEC because of the FEC laws. Wisconsin actually has more flexible laws, but from the party perspective, but it's for state candidates, you know, so it's like there's this line between federal campaign finance and state. And that kind of puts the party in a bit of a interesting position. And these laws tend to be clear as mud. So that's just a factor in it.
Clear as mud is the perfect way to look at it. Yeah. Because, again, it's way more convoluted than it needs to be. But because of Citizens United and the way that Wisconsin Republicans got rid of the Government Accountability Board and brought us the Wisconsin Elections Commission, you see here an effort to, again, get to know the rules and abide by the rules. And I say that just to offer up the comparison to, you know, the headline from a week ago where it was, you know, discovered that some county Republican parties in Wisconsin were essentially potentially illegally funneling money, playing a shell game with it in order to help the Trump campaign target Speaker Robin Voss in a primary. And again, it's very inside baseball, but the larger point being, some folks still feel a need to abide by the rules, and that's what a group like this is designed to do.
And the other part of it, part of my thinking too, was one of the things we didn't have a candidate yet, and we weren't sure, like no one wanted to rush into announcing just so we could start raising money, because that's the other side of this, is that Gallagher always has this massive war chest, and you know, hasn't really been forced to spend a lot of his money. So thinking about running against him, you have to think about having a lot of money to compete, and not having a candidate makes it harder to raise money. So the PAC can kind of fill in a gap while candidates are deciding what they want to do and then raise money to support the candidates ultimately once, you know, in the general election, whoever that candidate ends up being. So it's just a way to sort of give them a path to be money and I mean, now that Gallagher's not running, obviously the money situation could be slightly different, but now we've got the MAGA team on the other side. So all bets are off still.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, politics is all about money.
Yes.
And if you don't have this arm, you know, we put our heads together after your race in 2022 and said, how can we change the direction of the state and of our ability to represent Wisconsinites in Congress? So this has been building for well over a year, and the financial piece was essential in order for us to put the whole picture together.
100%.
Yeah. And we've been able to pull in some really incredible people that I think it's important to highlight. First of all, I'd really like to acknowledge Representative Christina Shelton, who yesterday announced that she's not going to be running for her seat in the assembly. Christina is part of our family. She's not disappearing off the face of the earth. She is still going to continue to be involved in Women Win Wisconsin, but not in that at the front role that she has so courageously been operating in. I mean, this is a difficult environment, and we've got
putting this way more politely than I did when I saw that Christina was stepping down. Yeah. I mean, it was a body blow, and I was just again so thankful for her service and know that she will continue to provide some leadership. But again, it just underscores that there are these legislative races, and there will no doubt be other incumbents yet who make that decision not to run. So this really is all about preparation for the great unknown, not just the district, the new district lines, but who exactly the candidates will be at every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really important too, I think, that everyone understands that these congressional, state and local races are so important. I've been on a mission over the last 10 or 15 years to try to get people to understand this, because the presidential race tends to get all of the focus, but these state races are so critical to how our laws are made, like how they impact our everyday life. I mean, and I think Wisconsin is a shining example of why we need to pay close attention as voters.
Julie, can you talk a little bit about how innovative our approach has been ensuring that we have leaders at the table, people who have said, I really want to be part of the solution. I want to solve problems. I'm tired of seeing our legislators spin their wheels and get nothing done. They stopped working. It's February. This is a full-time legislature, and they threw in the towel in February when there are still so many problems that need to be solved. How did you and the Women Win Wisconsin crew come together to start attacking this problem?
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of came to this understanding that we wanted to work together. We didn't want to be fighting each other on, competing in the same space because people wanted to run for the same seat possibly. So we just started making it a collaborative effort, really, and coming at it from, people's strengths. Like, everyone in this has different things they bring to the table, and they're organizing at different levels on the ground. One of the things, I started the Mike Gallagher's record.com to start shining a light on his record, and to give, to put that out there, and just our Women Win Wisconsin event, like we did on the 30th, just to bring the ladies together to show here's who is thinking about running for this congressional seat. But also just understanding that one of those ladies will run. It's not going to be like this all out knock 'em, drag 'em fight. Like, we're not into that. Like, we want some harmony and unification so we can stay together. Like, the Republicans, one of the things Republicans do so well, I hate to say they do anything well, but they do their messaging well. They stick together. Like, even if they hate each other, they still come out with the same talking points and they stick to them. And it gets out there like that. So unity is important. And I think we've been doing a good job with that. And I think it's been throwing some people off, honestly.
Well, you talk about working well together, including potential candidates like Kristen and like Alicia Saunders and Kelly Peterson, and we've had them all on before, and they've had, one event. But as I'm looking at the website for the New Blue Pack, which is newbluepack.org, I see those same three women already planning something else, a new discussion with voters under 30, scheduled for March 22nd in Appleton. Kristen, what are we doing there?
Well, as Alicia and Kelly and I figured out in our conversations, Kelly is an Emmy-winning producer, and Alicia is an incredible Navy veteran, and of course, I'm a doctor, so we all have different things that we bring to the table. But one thing we all have in common is 18-year-old sons. So we asked our boys if they would be interested in doing an event with us so that we could bring younger people to the table to talk about the things that they care about. And that's what this event is. It's going to be in Appleton. We've got our kids there. They are going to be featured. We're just going to be there as the people who are listening. They're inviting their friends. We've got the Lawrence Dems coming, and we're inviting young people from all over the region to come and be heard.
All right. So let's take it to the action level. You've got this event coming up that people can go to. But as far as the New Blue Pack, Julie, is it that you're I see that there is a place on the website where people can make a donation. Is that the primary, call to action out there, or is it for bodies to do things? What can people do if they want to know more?
I mean, the primary call to action is definitely donate if you like. I mean, they can reach out if they are interested in finding out how they can get involved. We've got all kinds of, they can reach out to me via the New Blue Pack, and I can help figure out where they fit in this bigger picture, where they want to help. Call to action, I mean, make sure, get the word out about the event on the 22nd, get people out registering to vote, get those things in order and understand what's going on in this. It's not, I know it's the year where people are like not ready to be involved in politics this early in the year, but we have so much work to do today, this year, to make things happen and flip this district. So yeah, get in touch. Like I'm happy. I love to hear from people. Like, let's, you know, figure out where you want, if you want to help, let's figure out where you can help. I mean, money is awesome. Excuse me, always. But also we do need, you know, bodies on the ground and people who are eager to help us.
There's room for everybody at the table. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the giant things that New Blue PAC does is it gives people who are feeling like uncomfortable about fundraising, like, I really want to put money into the 8th Congressional District because I really see a path there. This is where you can send your dollars. And these dollars will go toward electing a Democrat to represent the people of the 8th CD.
Yeah. And I can't emphasize the point enough that when it comes to working together and unifying a party, any given party, anytime you hear about a primary, you understand that at the end of it, that party can either come together around the nominee despite whatever the primary looked like, or it can stay divided, battered, bruised. People stay home because they feel bad their candidate didn't emerge from the primary. I can't think of a worse thing to do. And that's, you know, being this close to the 3rd Congressional District, where again, you've got these, you know, multiple great candidates running in the Democratic primary. Again, go ahead and support the one you like best right now. But after that August primary, it's all about coming together for November.
100%.
Mm-hmm. All right. You can learn more over at newbluepack.org. Read all about the issues, the importance of getting involved, and of course, that event with Dr. Lyerly coming up as well. Julie Hancock, thank you so much. Really appreciate
you
to learn more about the group.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And then next week, Kristen, you have one Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski scheduled to be part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment. It appears she's staying busy too. So,
well, yeah, I mean, she originated Women Win Wisconsin, and she's got so much going on. So we got to check in with Sarah.
We wouldn't want her to be bored. Jane Matinera is coming up next on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Soto.
Check 1, 2.
Ah, there you go. My mic sound nice.
That's because I'm not dead yet. Not dead yet. Not dead yet. I'm a man fighting with the wall against my back. You better get up.
Greg Bach bringing it today for Jane Matinera's initial appearance on Up North News Radio.
She loves this song.
I do love this song.
Who is it?
I have no idea who it is, but I just love the whole not dead yet.
I could tell because you were using up your whole Brady Bunch square when you were rocking out.
It just makes me laugh. A listener has recommended that as a bumper song. A friend and I were talking about how long we've been in the business, and it's like, oh, you're a radio legend. Well, we're only legends because we're not dead yet, so...
Yeah. I believe the band's called The Bad Examples.
Oh, I love it. That's even better.
Perfect. Amen to that.
Jane, hey, can I just add on something real quick from our Women Win Wisconsin? The big announcement coming out of Appleton this morning. I don't know if you've heard anything, but I've heard that one Chris Elfheim may be making some, our very own Chris Elfheim, Civic Media's own Chris Elfheim has some big things in store, so stay tuned for that.
Oh my goodness. Well, there's a tease for you, so maybe there'll be something to talk about on Matinera on Air coming up later at 10 o'clock here. Jane's first time here pinch hitting for Luke Mathers, who's off this week. Jane, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you, Pat.
Oh my goodness, this is such a thrill as somebody who loved listening to you back when we were both a little bit younger.
Just and slightly cuter.
Just that's it. Sure. We'll go.
Sure.
I'm so awkwardly trying to figure out how to play that one. I feel like it's a trap.
Pat, you're such a Wisconsinite. Just accept the compliment and say thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jane. Thank you very much. So, Matinera on Air, 10 to noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. You have spent so much time being part of a team or a zoo or, you know, a pairing or whatever. And now it's like, again, neither one of us could do this without Greg Bach. God love him. But when you put your name on the show, it's like, you know, I am the captain now. How are you feeling about that so far?
Well, I question myself on a daily basis, which I think is both normal and I don't think that's a bad thing. I love working with Greg. Like you said, I couldn't do this without Greg. And I try not to beat myself up too much because I think it's unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not trying to make any of us feel older than we really are, but how many stations and how many incarnations have you had around Milwaukee radio and elsewhere?
Well, I've worked at three different stations in Milwaukee over 35 years. And then my very first job was in swinging New Ulm, Minnesota, when I was right out of when I was right out of broadcast school, and we were a new startup rock station in central Minnesota. So we would get requests from farmers who were in their cabs in the field with, you know, nice. The nicer cabs with, and it was actually quite a lot of fun.
Why are you playing that darn noise?
Oh, they like to, they like to rock out. Let's have some Geddy Lee and Rush, baby.
Yeah.
Look, Civic Media now has WCFW in Chippewa Falls, which played, you know, polka music for decades. And if they'd ever tried to change it for many years, they'd get calls going, no, we like milking cows. The cows like it when we're milking the cows. They want to hear that. And, you know, I'd worked briefly up in West Bend. It was then WBKV. I think they've changed call letters a couple of times since then. And I'd always tell people about it, and they'd say, what is it? And it was so weird to work in suburban Milwaukee radio, and people didn't know that you were there, you know, because they were listening to the big blowtorches that were out there instead.
Right.
And I feel like we're really in an era now where – more of your little engines that could, that are focusing once again on local and Wisconsin-based talk, can really take off. And so you are as well-placed as anybody could be to have your kind of show on the air right now.
Well, thank you so much, Pat. And I love this company so much. I love Civic Media and our president and CEO, Sage Weil. What we are doing with Civic Media has never been done before. This has never even been attempted because this has been a massive undertaking and certainly is indicative of our company's commitment to small-town community-based radio, talking about things that people care about and to try and affect some positive change. So I am beyond delighted to be part of this. I really am. And I couldn't think of a better place to wrap up my career. I've been doing this for 43 years, so we'll see how long I go.
Well, so I think you're going to enjoy it. I think we may both go into overtime compared to what our original plan was. And you know, Kristen, you know, from the Green Bay area, again, to get state and locally based, you know, talk back on the air that isn't, you know, far right, you know, nationally syndicated garbage. That's a pretty cool deal.
It's delightful. And I'm just a friend. Like, I don't get paid by Civic Media. I just show up because I like
either.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love, it's the Wisconsin idea. It's the progressive spirit of Wisconsin. If you dig into the history of Wisconsin, we've got all of these things about our state that have been about coming together and the voice of the people. And how do we solve these problems and figure out how to move forward together? And that's what Civic Media is doing. That's not what our government is doing, but it's what Civic Media is helping us find our voice so that we can, you know, restore that thing that means so much to us. So it's very exciting to be part of
this. And don't you think all of us, it's about restoring respectful conversations between mm-hmm. people who might disagree on things. We can all disagree, but we used to be able to sit down and talk about hard things and come up with solutions for the hard things. And in the last decade, it's just gotten, the rhetoric is so nasty. And so we're not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, especially at the media level. But, I know there's been changes at the personal level as well. But there are still plenty of folks out there where in person, you know, over a couple of old fashions or bumping into each other in the grocery store, they can say, you know, Pat or whomever, what's the deal with this? And have that respectful. And those conversations always end with, wow, why can't our politicians be more like this? And I'd say, mm-hmm. Why can't some of our big time radio hosts be like that as well? And I think we're showing them a better path.
Well, fear sells. It does.
Yeah,
and
it does.
I think for some, the monetary reward is more important than the effect that they're having in a larger community. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. No. Could not agree more. Jane Mattinair, we'll hear you and Greg. Is Greg? Greg, yeah, Bach, the guy that this year.
The big guy with the beard. Yeah.
Pat Craig, also funny.
See, hey, this is, I'm hanging out with Jane and Greg today, too.
It's public service. Right. Public service announcement at 11:06.
There you go. All right.
Can't wait to see you again, Dr. Lyerly.
Bye. I love our time together.
Bye, Pat.
Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. We really appreciate it. We will have Kia Vakil here tomorrow, along with Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher. So nice to have you here throughout each every weekday as we do this. From Up North News, Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow.